chapter 6. For those of you who are relatively new to our church and maybe are visiting, still trying to find a spiritual home, just to catch you up really quickly, for the last 6 to 8 months, we have been walking through the book of Galatians. It's part of a series that I started in January. It's to spend time in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, okay? These four books, and we're going to be going through them in order. We're at the tail end of Galatians, all right? So we've got, just to give you a sense of the timeline, there are two more Sundays in August, and then we have the summer retreat. So today, next Sunday, we're going to finish up Galatians. We're going to go to the summer retreat. When we come back from the summer retreat, we're going to start Ephesians chapter 1. That's kind of where we're at, okay? So if you're new, I see a lot of new faces, and you find that there's a lot of things that I'm referring to that you didn't hear before. That's because we've been doing this for a little while now. We're in Galatians chapter 6. We're actually at the very last section, verse 11 to 18. And before we kind of look at it, let me reflect a little bit. In light of the fact that we have so many new people, and really, for us, we're not a huge congregation. Even having two or three or four new people is a lot. It's a lot of people, particularly in a short period of time. And I kind of think to myself, you know, it's been a long time since I've had to search for a spiritual home. The last time that I did it was when I went to college. When I went to college, I had to go search for a spiritual home. And I went to the school, I went to college up here in the Bay Area, and I had friends who were from my home church that I grew up in, who were ahead of me in school, and they said, hey, Eddie, why don't you come to our church as you go and search? So I did. I went to a church, and on that first Sunday, I went to that church, and I noticed that the church that I went to, outside of that church, had these trees, and these trees dropped these prickly balls. I don't know what the kind of tree that is. Help me out here, Felicia. Prickly balls. About that big. Size of a ping pong ball. What's that? Flowering maple. Sound about right to you? They're woody. They're hard. Like if you throw them at people, they'll hurt. Liquid amber. Is that okay? Liquid amber? We good? Okay. I saw that outside the church there were liquid amber trees that dropped these woody, painful balls. And I thought to myself, my home church has the same trees outside. It's a sign. And I kid you not, I went to that church on week one, and I never made it to another church. Ever. That was it. So that was my motivation, just a place that I could feel comfortable, that reminded me of home. And I think to myself a little bit, because we're sort of at the end of Galatians, and Paul's going to wrap up this letter in about 7 or 8 verses, and he's going to wrap it up by reminding us of kind of what our motivation is when we are part of a spiritual community. And so I turn it to us, turn it to you. What is your motivation as you are looking for a spiritual community? What are the things that you look for? Those of you who are new, you new people, what are you looking for? How was the music today? Russell is a homegrown kid, okay? And he's a good-looking guy, too, you know, and... Did you like the music today? Because some people will evaluate a church based on that, right? Oh, too loud, too soft, too modern, too traditional. Some people evaluate it obviously based on this component right here. Was it interesting? Did it engage me? Did it entertain me? Did it make me laugh? Did it cause me to feel something? Some people evaluate a church based on the size of the congregations. Too small, too big, too Asian, not Asian enough. Some people evaluate it based on the children's program. We know that. Particularly, obviously, if you have kids, You'll hear it a lot. Oh, we like that church because they have a good kids program. Okay, how's the adult program? Our kids program is great, I think. My kids are in it. They seem to like it. What's the criteria that we use? I had a seminary professor who was a pastor of a large church, many thousands of people. And he said every time he wanted to start a new Sunday school class, like a 10-week class, and he wanted that class to grow, you know what he would do? Genius. He would recruit the 5 cutest young ladies to join his class. And then by week 2, 30 people. Just like that. I thought to myself, that's just genius. I recruit Russell, okay? Russell's in my class and 30 people. No, it just brings to our minds, what are we looking for? Why are we here? You know, we turn to the book of Galatians, and Paul, at the end of his letter, he brings it home, and he tells us that in this situation, in the book of Galatians, we had the Galatian Christians who were converted by Paul. And after Paul had taught them and helped them to grow to a certain level, he had to leave. Paul was a church planter, not a church stayer. Okay? He was not a church pastor in the traditional sense. He planted churches and then he left them for them to grow on their own. Well, what happened was in this church, a group of people rose up, and we call them the agitators. And they began to agitate the community in Galatia by telling them, if you really want to please God, you have to follow the law, you have to get circumcised, you have to follow the Old Testament rules to a T. And Paul writes this letter, and he says, what? You guys are being tricked by them? I taught you better. I taught you that Jesus is the focus, that Jesus is our sufficiency, that Jesus brings us together, gives us purpose, and he makes us complete. I taught you that. How could you be tricked by them? In these last few verses here in chapter 6, the end of the letter, Paul tells us again of what their motivation is, and I think it actually has a little bit to do with us sometimes. Let's look here in chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Those are the agitators. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. He starts off here in verse 11 and he says, look, I'm writing in such big letters with my own hand. Kind of just a little bit of why he writes it like that. People like Paul, who would write letters like this, okay, this is not, this is a time in which paper and ink and these things are of short supply. And what they did is they had dedicated secretaries, dictators, dictation people. Paul would dictate and they would write. So it more often than not, letters like this were never written in the hand of the author. Except here, you can imagine Paul, he works himself up into a frenzy. He's, how can you follow them? How can you be tricked by them? And he says, give me the pen. And then he, see what big letters. Okay, this is bold, italicized, 16-point font. Okay, highlighted, whatever, okay. And he says, I'm so worked up. And here it is. Here is the final, final command to you. He says, those guys, those agitators, those people who are stirring up trouble in your community, all they want to do, their motivation is to impress people by means of the flesh as they compel you to be circumcised. The word to impress is a compound word in Greek, and the compound word is good and face. Good and face. What is he saying? He's saying that these agitators, all they care about is looking good. That's what their motivation is. Their motivation is not spiritual. Their motivation is not to help you. Paul says we can see through that. We know what their motivation is. Their motivation is to look good. Brings us home for a moment. Obviously, in this dynamic, the agitators are the bad example, and Paul and the genuine believers are the good example, okay? We're not the agitators. We don't associate with them. But are we like them a little bit? Are we concerned, overly concerned, with putting on a good face? I think to a moment, think for a moment. This phenomenon that we live in the age of social media. I'm old, okay? Those of you who are new, I'm 57. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm old enough to where Facebook really was, okay? Zanga, well, back in the day, MySpace. And I'm almost ready to quit Facebook. Not in protest, but I'm tired of seeing what you're eating. I'll tell you this. I'm tired of seeing photos of families that I know are having trouble, but it looks so good. It's not real. It's not real. I'm tired of seeing pictures of my relatives, friends of mine, who I talk to and I know are having a hard time, are dealing with stuff, but they're on vacation. They're living it up. They look like they're so fulfilled and so happy. And I know it's not right. It's a sham. It is people who are trying to impress. People who want to put on a good face. And it's not age specific. It's just the age that we live in. Okay? It's been a while since I have seen genuine vulnerability on social media. Genuine vulnerability. Because it's not what it's for. It's not a time for you to confess what you're struggling with. It's not a time for you to say, I just had it out with my son or my wife or my mom. It's not a place for that. It's a place to show you my smiles. It's a place to show you my vacation photos. It's a place to show you my achievements, my accomplishments. I get it. There's a certain place for that, I suppose. But to me, it just reminds me of this. Because these agitators, all they care about is a good face. Now, we who are of Asian descent, we don't care about a good face, right? That's not a motivation for us, is it? Right? We're genuinely open and vulnerable and transparent, aren't we? Oh, Asians. When my father got sick, he was diagnosed with kidney failure and he had to start dialysis. And there's two, as far as I remember back then, there were two kinds of dialysis. There was a dialysis where you go to the dialysis center and you sit in a chair for a couple of hours. That's called hemodialysis. It just cleans your blood. And then you had dialysis that was at home and it's called peritoneal dialysis. And so that's what my dad had, okay? So it doesn't matter what it is. But as a result of having peritoneal dialysis, he had this tube that literally came out of his, like it was like sealed up. It's all clean, but it stuck out like that long. And he tried to, and he had like, it's a tube, a rubber tube. And so he would like pin it inside his jacket, whatever, okay? Because most of the time he's not using it, or under his shirt. But he was so embarrassed. And I remember at the time he said, hey, you're 17, you drive yourself to church. I don't want to go anymore. What? Why not? I just don't want to go. Okay. It wasn't until years later that I realized he just didn't want to deal with that. He didn't want people to see it. He didn't want people to know. It's embarrassing. And it's not like I don't understand embarrassing. We do. We may not respond the same way. But yet again, it reminds us, what is our motivation to be here? Why are you here? Is it to put on a good face? Or is it to be real, to be transparent? And it's not to say that when you come to church, you always have to pour out all your problems. But it speaks to our motivation. Because the motivation of the agitators was simply to make themselves look good. Paul says, keep going here in verse 12, they just want to make themselves look good by compelling you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this, it's two reasons actually. The only reasons they do this, number one, is to avoid being persecuted. And number two, in verse 13, not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want to be for you to be circumcised that they may boast about you. Two things that they wanted to do this for. To look good, to avoid discomfort and persecution, and to boast. To boast in their influence. They were the modern day influencers of that time. To boast in their, how many followers they have online. Number one, they wanted to avoid persecution. They did not want to put themselves in a situation where they were uncomfortable. At that time, to be a Christian in a predominantly Jewish area was difficult. It was extremely hard. You would be persecuted. And Paul says in verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, because on my body I bear the marks of Jesus. What does he mean by that? He's saying, I have scars, and these scars show you that I've been persecuted. Their motivation is their comfort. Is looking good and feeling good. So they would do whatever they could to avoid that discomfort. That's not us, right? You know, we who work here at church and we're in the office, particularly Stephanie. Stephanie is the children's minister. We meet once a week. And from 3 to 5 on Tuesdays, that's our time. Don't call the office. Don't look for me. Between 3 and 5, I'm busy, okay? We have our weekly meeting and we'll talk about church and how church is going. And the different things that we hear. Some people like it. Some people like what we're doing. Some people don't. And we've heard. And again, I'm not trying to make fun of these people. This is a real consideration. But we've heard. Such and such a person, so and so, was not too thrilled with our church. The chairs are uncomfortable. Yeah, I know. They're not the best chairs. They're uncomfortable. We make them uncomfortable on purpose, keep you awake, okay? I press the button, little spikes come out. You know, it's too hot, or it's too crowded, or it's too whatever, and I think, I get it. You know, there's only so much that we can do, okay? Just a moment of transparency on my part. We can't get better chairs. We can't. Partly because we bought these, and they're not cheap. And we are not a type of people to throw things out, okay? And secondly, the nicer chairs, the cushiony chairs that I really want, I have this dream of having those cushion chairs that lock together, right? And they, oh, so beautiful. We can't store them. Where would we put them? There's no place to put them. These actually stack nicely. They're on these little rollers. They kind of roll away. Those things are so bulky. I thought to myself, and lastly, sorry, one more thing. They're expensive. And again, we are not a type of people that are willing to spend that kind of money. I understand that we're trying to make you as comfortable as possible. The agitators, they were motivated by that. They were motivated to look good, to be prominent in their society. They wanted to be known. So even though they were telling the Galatian Christians, you got to be circumcised, you got to follow the law, it wasn't for spiritual purposes that they were doing this. They were doing this for themselves. They were self-absorbed. They were not doing this for the good of other people, for the growth of other people. I might have some respect for them if that was their motivation, but Paul says, I call foul. That was not their motivation. Their motivation was self-absorption. Self-absorbed, selfish motivation to look good, to not be persecuted, and finally to boast, to brag. Look at me. Look at how good we are. Look at how many followers that we have. How many you got? And this is something that, honestly, it's hard for me to resist. It's hard for me to resist. If I go into a setting where there are many pastors in a gathering, it's hard for me not to, and it's hard, it's as a people, I think, a group of us, let me speak for my people. Hey, where's your church? That more often than not, the next question is what? How big is your church? And I think to myself, what does it matter? What does it matter? You know, I get to do a lot of outside preaching, partly because the needs in Chinese church, bilingual church, is so great, so high. A lot of Chinese churches don't have English pastors, so they have to fill the pulpit. I went to a church in Los Altos, I don't know, 10 years ago. And the pastor was a friend of mine. He invited me to come, so I went there by myself. Actually, it was city. We had no kids at the time, so it must have been more than 10 years ago. We went to this church in Los Altos, and I kid you not, the service was in the kitchen, and there were six people. I thought, oh, man, I gotta change my whole presentation, okay? There's only six of us. Let's just sit in a circle. How faithful do you have to be as a pastor, to be motivated and called and encouraged to serve a congregation of six people? It takes a tremendous amount of, I would say, spiritual strength, a dedication, commitment to the Lord. Because when you come to church Sunday after Sunday and there's only six, and if someone gets sick, now they're five. One family goes on vacation, now you got three. It's deflating. Here we are preparing our messages and our sermons, and we want it to be heard, right? Every public speaker wants to be heard. And when you only have six people, it's deflating. You know, I look around right now. I'm going to guess there's about 120 people in here. And that's probably about what we average. Between 120 and 140. Over the summer, you look at, raise your hand, Tracy. Okay, right behind Tracy, there's a blue sheet of paper. Point to it right there, that blue, that's a calendar. The calendar right there. Right next to that calendar is the weekly attendance. Okay, if you're ever curious, it's also in the bulletin. We put it in there, it's like a statistic. Every week, what the weekly attendance is. And for the most part, we don't care what the weekly attendance is. We don't care. We, of course we care, okay? Because we care about the people here. But as a number, we don't care. There's no bonus if it's, yeah. We maxed out today. No, nobody cares. And yet over the summer, oh, there were some weeks in there, you look, 89. And I'm going to tell you right now, for me personally, I gotta, it takes me some soul searching a little bit. 89, what happened? We lost a bunch of people. Is it me? Is it the chairs? Is it the children's ministry? There is this sense of, oh, the bigger our congregation is, the more I'm able to boast in it. And then I read this. And Paul says, that's all the agitators cared about. That was their focus. Their focus was to look good, to feel good, and to make themselves, to elevate themselves. That's all they cared about. All of these things that their motivation was pointed in the direction of selfish things, selfish motivation. It was not the kind of motivation where we are concerned with other people. It was inward, just me, not what's beneficial for the community. We come here to verse 14. And Paul says for a moment here, this is why we gather. And you can say for the entire letter, this is the punchline. He says, may I never boast. If I'm going to boast, it's not going to be in me or my influence or how good looking I am or how many followers I have. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the fact that you are a new creation. Paul says, you know what? I'm not going to boast. If I boast in anything, I'm going to boast in the fact that Jesus is what unifies us. That Jesus is what gives us purpose. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified on a cross. And when he was crucified, I was crucified with him. And in the process of me being crucified with him, the world was crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, what the world emphasizes, the things that the world holds as of high value, those things no longer matter to me. They are not what motivates us. They are not what drives us. I'm not driven by looking good. I'm not driven by avoiding persecution. I'm not driven by boasting. Because the world is dead to me. I don't belong here anymore. And we, as a community, don't belong here anymore. And so what's our purpose? He said it before. We come here Sunday after Sunday to encourage each other in Christ. So that the day he comes back, he looks at us and he says to each of us individually, well done, good and faithful servant. You have endured until the end. Enter into the joy of your master. You know, if you new people leave here and you go to some other church because you like it better, that's okay. I'm okay with that. In fact, when new people come, I write an email to them. And more often than not, in my email, I will say, welcome to Contra Costa Gospel Church. My name is blah, blah, blah. And you put on your card you were interested in such and such. If it turns out that CCGC is not what you're looking for, that's okay. Let me help you find that. I've been here a long time. I have a fairly good sense of the churches in the area. If you're looking for something specific, let me help you. Let me help you find that church. Oh, you want something a little bit more traditional in terms of the worship style? Let me help you. You want something more contemporary? Let me help you. You want something with more or less of this demographic? Let me help you find that. If it's not us, that's okay. I have no problem with that. Because at the end of the day, you want to find yourself in a place where you can grow in the Lord. That's the motivation. Paul says here in verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. What counts is the fact that we have been reborn. And our motivation is different. And I'm going to be honest with you folks for a moment. The agitators, they cared about looking good, they cared about feeling good, and they cared about elevating themselves. And I know intellectually that the world is dead to me, that I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. But it is a constant, constant struggle to genuinely say, I don't care anymore about looking good. That's not actually true. I do care. I don't want to care, but I do care. You know, I sit there and I look, which of my two suits should I wear today? Which of my three yellow tie? I love yellow tie. I don't know why. I care. I care more than I should. I care about looking good. I don't like pain. I care about feeling good. And I care that we have, this particular size of congregation. I care about that, but I don't want to. And Paul reminds me here, something that we all need to be working toward is that this is not our motivation anymore. It's not our home. We look toward the fact that we have been made new in Christ. And when we are fully aware of that, Paul says in verse 16, peace and mercy to all who follow this principle, this goal. Peace and mercy. Is there a sense of a spiritual peace when you recognize you no longer care about looking good? When that's not your motivation anymore? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you care about that, it is exhausting. It's exhausting to always be concerned about looking good. One hair out of place. It's stressful. It's stressful. I have two boys, one's 9 and one's 4. And we go to the same barber, all three of us. We just rotate in the chair. And our barber, her name is Holly. Holly just, the same haircut 3 times. And I am so thankful that neither of the boys at this point care what the haircut is. It's coming, though. I feel it. I look at Emmett, you know, he's got some product in his hair. It's fine. It's all good. Okay? Zachary, please don't tell him about gel. Okay? I don't want to get there yet. It's coming. The day will come. What? Water? It's water? There's no product? How do you get it to stick up like that?
Comb and water.
Dude. There will come a day when Zachary will make me take him to Safeway or Rite Aid to get gel. Or mousse or whatever. I'm not looking forward to that day. For now, he didn't care. He didn't care how he looks. He's more concerned about being comfortable, actually. So it's the second one, okay? Avoiding discomfort. You know, when we get to the point where we don't care, you're just better off. It's less stress. When we get to the point where we accept the fact that as followers of Jesus, we will be persecuted. And what does that even mean? I don't know. I don't know what that means for us. Those of us who live in America, have you ever been hurt because of your faith? Has that ever genuinely occurred? Is it possible that it will one day occur? Yeah, I think so. Are we ready to accept that? And when you do, when you accept this rule that the new creation is what drives us, the fact that we have been made new, Paul says peace and mercy, not just to everybody, but to those who follow this principle, this rule. Yeah, that peace, that's what I want. That inner peace, that inner rest that tells me that the way that what we're doing here is what pleases the Lord and not for any other motivation. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we pray that you would help us to learn positively from Paul's example, negatively from the agitators. The agitators who were overly concerned about looking good, about avoiding persecution, and about boasting, elevating themselves. And Lord, we confess that that is also a struggle of ours. We also want to look good in the eyes of others. We want to avoid discomfort. And we want to boast about ourselves. But Lord, as Paul reminds us, let us not boast in anything, but to boast in the work of our Savior Jesus, who when he died on the cross, we also died with him. We died to the world and the world to us, such that nothing else matters except the fact that we are made new in Christ. And when we have this as our focus, peace and mercy will be given to us from you, Lord. Help us to have this kind of motivation in our spiritual lives, in our spiritual gathering. We pray these things for the ultimate exaltation, the name of our Savior Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.